Do you desire a co-op that serves all ages of students? Does your co-op have a history of high schoolers dropping out and pursuing other endeavors? Do you wonder how you can keep your high schoolers in your co-op during this critical time of their development? We know that many families desire to homeschool all the way through high school, but kids don't always agree. It often seems the grass is greener over at the more traditional school. In this episode, we will share strategies with you on how to structure your co-op so that high schoolers will want to remain a part of it, and you can continue to bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Welcome to Lead Your Homeschool Co-op. Do you desire a Christian community with families that fit? Do you find yourself up late at night Googling conflict resolution and how to build a community? Do you dream of a sustainable homeschool group only to feel discouraged when policies fail, logistics get in the way, or a conflict comes up again?
Hello! We are the Homeschool Community Builders. Together, we have more than 30 years of experience in leading successful homeschool groups. But at one time, we too were in co-ops that did not work for our families. We needed deep relationships and a community that would help our families grow in faith. In order to be a part of a sustainable Christian community, we stepped out in faith and trusted God's plan to build the community that we desired.
In this podcast, we will help you create Christ-centered policies, establish a close-knit culture, and develop strong leadership skills so that you can serve your community well. So grab a pen and paper, be ready to take some notes, and be encouraged. You can do this.
Do you guys like what you're hearing? We would be so grateful if you just took a second to write a review about our podcast. We are so appreciative of all of the feedback that we've gotten in our Facebook group, and we just want to connect with more mamas that are looking for support to start their own co-ops, and your reviews really help make that happen. Plus, it is so encouraging for us to hear what you have to say, and so it's really easy. You can just press pause right now and go to the podcast, scroll down until you say it's in purple and it says write a review. And just put that there. It really helps us out. If you feel this has been a benefit to you and you want to share it with other people, that's the best way to do it.
So today we're talking about high schoolers and how we can meet their needs. And our community, a long time ago, had been together for about 10 years when we were with a different co-op. And we kept having the same struggle year after year. Why do we keep losing our high schoolers? We felt it was time to leave the co-op we were in that had a lot of rules and policies that we had to follow and start our own so that we had more flexibility, primarily to meet the needs of our high school kids. We found that we just needed more flexibility to keep them in our group, and we've continued to modify what that looks like over the years to meet the specific needs of these kids. So we'd like to discuss more about what to consider when building your high school program to keep the high schoolers engaged in your community.
Yeah, the needs of high schoolers, if we can start there, are much different than needs of the middle schoolers and elementary kids. Now, everybody needs connection. It's not to say that that is not a need of elementary students and middle school students, but high schoolers need it at another level. They have such a deep desire and truly a deep need to have that social interaction, to have the friendships, to have challenges, but not overwhelm in high school because there's a lot of opportunity for that. They need flexibility and they need this person-to-person interaction and not just online presence. They don't just need a digital presence for school. So we really want to keep them there. But how do we meet these needs? How do we meet these needs that high schoolers, that makes a larger school setting or a traditional school setting seem appealing to them?
I think another reason that it's the flexibility is so important for those high schoolers is because they're getting ready to launch. They're spreading their wings. They need more independence. They are sometimes doing outside enrollment for other colleges. They have super busy sports schedules, we've found, or theater schedules, or just what other kinds of activities that they're dipping their toes into, and they're starting to spread their wings. And so having that flexibility, you can't create a structure or hold them to the same structure that elementary, like you got to be here all day long, because you're going to lose a lot of high schoolers that are just going a lot of different directions. And so I think that flexibility is one of the keys to keeping your high schoolers with you.
Yeah, and meeting those unique needs of theirs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to say they don't have, or maybe I should put it this way, it is to say they still have spiritual and social emotional needs that we as homeschoolers might not want to farm out to somebody else. In fact, we definitely don't want to farm them out to somebody else. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time trusting other powers that be to teach my children in the path that they should go to follow the Lord. You know, that's other people can teach them academics, but I want to be intimately involved with helping them walk that path that we are trying to follow. You know, that's a need that is, I think, in some ways even more profound in the high school years than in the younger years. They're just facing so much in our culture today that this is not the time to leave them by themselves. Yes, they're spreading their wings, but it is not the time to abandon them.
I agree. I think this is the most important time to continue having these discussions and having them in a safe environment so that they can wrestle with the things that the world is going to throw at them. Because if they don't get this training in high school, what are they being thrown? How are they being equipped when they go out to college or they're out in the workforce? That would be a huge missed opportunity to nurture and prepare them. My daughter, who's in high school, she did driver's ed in person and was like, yes, I want more of that. And so she thought she would get that kind of experience enrolling at our local community college. And boy, she has been sorely disappointed. But what I have seen such a contrast between the classes that she's going to at the community college, that's not nurturing her. That's not feeding her spiritually. That has only been challenging her. But at our homeschool group, where we're doing apologetics and we're having really good discussions and we're reading great literature books and tying it all into life, that's what's equipping her to be able to go out to the community college and handle all of the tough stuff that she's been exposed to there. So it's certainly not been a substitute and has really solidified to me that her being at our homeschool co-op is exactly where she needs to be. There's not a substitute for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beautiful thing, is that a lot of people that want to take advantage of these dual enrollment college courses, to be able to make your co-op accessible to them still so that they can remain a part of your community is so crucial for them to be able to have that one foot out in what the real world is like, but still have that safety back home and guidance from parents and like-minded people, peers, because they're going to school with people who oftentimes are a lot older than them, and not necessarily sharing in their values and morals. And so I think it's so great to be able to have them at home with you and be able to equip them for those situations, but still like give them a taste of, hey, this is the real world out there. And someday you're going to be living in it. So you better figure that out.
Well, and I love the fact that when our high schoolers stick around our co-op, that they are being mentored by and taught by other godly Christian adults. It's not just on me as the parent. My kids are getting input from so many other people that they really need, because I can't meet every single one of their needs. But God provides us in community that ability for other people to meet needs of our kids. And they're not going to have that if they're just, yeah, out, maybe they're doing online school, they're not going to have that. If they're in community college, they're not going to have that. You know, it is hard to find. So if you have cultivated a close-knit community, it's such a great place for your high schoolers to be fed.
And you know what, leaders, you will not hear from them how much they appreciate this until much later when they have already gone out and graduated, because this is just how they live right now. They don't know anything else, right? And it won't be until, and maybe we'll never get the thanks that we deserve, but I will tell you, they probably won't ever have this in their life again, unless they are part of a homeschool community where they are teaching their kids.
Yeah. We recently had a graduate from our co-op, went to a Christian school, Christian college, but had a really rough time and went through some really hard things. And he came back to our co-op and just was visiting and stopped me and just expressed how much what we had taught him his senior year had affected his life. Like, he didn't even realize it until he was going through this hard stuff. And then was like, you just keep doing what you are doing because it's so important. And that was straight from one of our graduates. And I was his mentor that year. I had no idea that we were having that effect. You know, God is working when we are faithful. And we don't even know what he's doing in these kids' lives. But if they're not in your co-op, he's not gonna be able to use you in their lives. So
yeah. So there are lots of ways that you can make your co-op accessible and admirable to high schoolers. One of the things that you can do is to, we talked about that flexibility. You make the flexibility happen with the requirements that they need to be able to come to your co-op. So maybe for our co-op, it's they only need to have one core class to be able to come to our co-op. And the other classes, if they're on campus, they can do study hall. Mm-hmm. They can also volunteer in other classes. They have freedom to leave campus if they do have an activity or something that they need to be gone. So they have those freedoms that obviously K through 8 doesn't necessarily have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the same with our co-op. The flexibility has been the game changer for keeping our high schoolers because they do have lots of other interests. They have other things that they're delving into, and they need that time to not necessarily be at the co-op the full day. So, you know, there a lot of them are taking other classes elsewhere and getting those academic needs met in, you know, in different ways, but they're coming to our co-op because of the connections that they have. And so the kind of schedule that we build is flexible. And it's less intense than for the younger kids. It's not all day necessarily, unless they choose that. They can choose to be on campus all day. We have that ability, but they don't have to be.
Yeah, I think it's important to really take a look at the classes that you're offering. You know, have the necessities in there. You know, what can they get only from your co-op that they're not going to get at a dual enrollment situation or something like that? And that's Bible study, apologetics, quite possibly literature. I mean, I know the kinds of books that we read at our co-op are not the kind of books they're going to get even in a college type literature class.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also important to have some fun classes in there or life skill classes, things that they will love and that will inspire them, because that you just are going to engage them differently when it's not just all about the academics. Mm-hmm. And not all about hard academics. You know, maybe you offer a fun science class in there or just shake it up a little bit so that they have more opportunity to have fun, especially with their classmates.
And connect with their peers.
Yeah, because they can get the math classes, the computer, the languages. They can do that anywhere. That does not have to be at your co-op. And they're maybe not even required. I mean, well, math would be required, but not all of that is. And so maybe you look in at your schedule that you're building for your students, say, okay, what's really necessary? Do we have to do all of this? What can we take off so that there's just more time and space for them to be with everything else that they have going on?
Another way that we've created some opportunities for connection for our high schoolers are certain service projects that are geared towards older kids, working with like adults with disabilities or after school kids clubs types things. But also other opportunities for connection could be like dances or, you know, having them do leadership in your chapel or devotions in your chapel, where they can develop that leadership abilities that they have.
Thinking about other considerations with high schoolers, we have asked our high schoolers to teach some younger kids. Getting them involved in your co-op that way keeps them tied in. And so we've had kids lead calisthenics. We've had high schoolers lead art. We've had high schoolers participate in other ways that way. It develops their relationships with the younger kids in the co-op. And then that's another pull for them because they see how much these younger kids look up to them. And it really fills a need of theirs to feel like a leader, to feel like they're grown up, to, you know, they're starting to want to show what they're made of. And so giving them that opportunity to do that, I think, is a way to help them stay plugged in.
Yeah, it really connects them. And it also, like, when it connects your whole community when they are connected with the youngers, because when they go to graduate, now that younger person whose family, maybe they're all younger, wouldn't come to a graduation, because why would you come to somebody's graduation you didn't know, feel really connected to them and want to celebrate as a community in that way, which is awesome, because now they're up there, they're graduating, they really are launching, and it gives them that opportunity to look down in the audience and see the people that they were affecting themselves as leaders.
Yeah, it's really such a beautiful thing to watch those relationships develop. One of the things that we did this year was doing a service project where we paired a high schooler with a younger kid, and then they in pairs put their service project thing together. And they had so much fun together, and the high schoolers were just, you know, who would have thought? But they were all there. They were all present. They were all having a great time. And the younger kids, of course, were like, oh, this is so great, you know, because a big kid is hanging out with me and playing with me. And it was, yeah, it was really awesome.
It fed each of their needs differently, right? Yeah. Like the little kids get to like, oh, they so want to be like the older kids, right? But the older kids, they were needed. They had a job to do. They had purpose that was outside of themselves. And that is so important. And so both, it was a win-win for the kids, young and old, and for the parents.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful to see that they had connections. They had fun together. The older kids got down on the little kids' level. They got silly with them. They always have that potential. We just have to give them the opportunity.
Yeah. Create those opportunities.
Yeah.
Because it's hard for them to create that themselves.
It is. Yeah.
Especially when they're running ragged and they're really busy and they're just, they're thinking about their future a lot. So just to recap, some of the things that you can do to structure your high school so that you can hold on to them a little bit longer. Plus, it just brings tears to my eyes at graduation when I have to say goodbye to these kids because they're finally mature.
Yeah.
And now they're leaving.
Yeah, exactly. Such a great celebration, though, isn't it? I mean, to have these kids graduating from your co-op, it's really awesome.
It is awesome. And especially when they've been there for the long haul and then they just feel like they're your kids. And it's just so fun. But so the first thing that we talked about today was being flexible. recognizing that they need those social interactions, they need that connection, and they're going in a lot of different directions. So if you can keep the structure of your co-op flexible, not creating a whole bunch of policies and stuff that require them to have to fit into all of these boxes, then you're going to increase your chances of having your high schooler remain at your co-op and stay connected with you. The other thing is to include fun stuff to create an environment where they have purpose, and to sometimes it's even doing like a poll to try and figure out what are these high schoolers interested in, and then create those classes based off of what they're actually interested in. Dances and all of those types of things will help keep your high schoolers close by and still support them through as they're getting launched out the door. See you
and
later,
don't
Alex.
Forget to bring food.
Food, that's right. Snack is the way to do it. That's how you know what? You want to keep me around? Bring food.
Bring snacks to everything, and you will attract high schoolers like flies.
You will.
It's like that movie, Field of Dreams. Build it and they will come. It's your co-op. It's feed them and they will come.
Yes.
Always have snacks in your pantry, and you'll always have your house full of the kids. You'll never be wondering where your kid is, because they'll all be coming to your house and they'll be eating your snacks. So just, you know, it just rely on that 2% Costco refund at the end of the year, and don't worry about how much you're spending on all of the snacks.
That's
so
right.
That's all that we have for you guys today. But before we go, I know it just feels like every episode we're just throwing tons of information at you. And for some of you, I bet you're just loving it. It feels awesome. You're absorbing it all. And for others, your heads just might be spinning. And if that's the case for you and you feel like you could use some help, that's what we're here for. It's just easy. Schedule a call. We're here for you. You don't need to be struggling with any of this information. We can customize it specifically for you. And it is so easy, and it's truly affordable. You will spend more going out to dinner with your family than you would on a 1-hour call, and we can get you settled into exactly what it is that you need specific to your co-op. It doesn't have to be stressful. We can help. And we want to leave you with this verse, Ephesians 6:4. Fathers and mothers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And the awesome thing about having a co-op is that your kid gets 25, 30, however many mothers and fathers that will come around them and love them just the way that you do. So hang in there and just know that we're praying for you all the time and that we're here for you. We'll see you on Facebook. Hey friend, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with someone who may benefit from it? Or leave us a 5-star written review in Apple Podcasts. It blesses our socks off to know how this podcast is helping you. Also, make sure to connect with us on the Lead Your Homeschool Co-op Facebook page and join the conversation. We'll see you back here next time.